Who, this, a serious question. I do want a response to this. I want a display of hands. Ready? Who here is from a dysfunctional family? See, I'm glad you all realized that, because I was afraid some of you wouldn't raise your hand. Okay, and I sometimes talk to people who seem to think that dysfunctionality in a family is abnormal. However, I have come to the conclusion, after many, many years of pastoral counseling, that every family has some level of dysfunction in it. If yours doesn't, it's probably because you're the only one still alive. And it may interest you to know that given the text that was just read to you, Jesus came from a slightly dysfunctional family too. In the text that was read in your hearing from the Gospel of Luke today, we run into Jesus' family. Now, it was a busy time for Jesus. He was healing people, raising people from the dead, preaching the good news to those who needed to hear it. He was doing really important stuff. Stuff of which his family should have been proud. He was head over heels into what he was doing. Now, I know that doesn't happen to any of you. But some of us can really get into what we are about. We kind of lose ourselves in the doing of it. And Jesus was really into what he was doing because what he was doing was important. He was doing the will of God. And on the particular day about which Lil just read to you, Mary and Jesus' brother showed up asking if they might have a word with him. Did you ever notice how your family can do that? Oh. First of all, your family has a propensity to devalue the importance of what you are doing. They always manage to show up at the very moment when your hands are full of important stuff and your mind is occupied with significant events. And when they show up, they come expecting that you will be willing and able to drop all of the important stuff that you are doing to listen to them. And that is exactly what Mary and Jesus' brothers did. Without a warning. They did not even send him a text message saying they were coming. Without a warning, they show up at one of the busiest times in Jesus' ministry, and they expect that because they are there, he will be able to drop everything and pay attention to them. But if you read the story in the Gospel of Mark, chapter 3, you will discover there why they really came. Mark tells us that Jesus' family came to speak to him on this day because they thought Jesus was crazy. Everybody was talking about Jesus and what Jesus was doing. The religious authorities had already condemned Jesus as a fraud. He was doing things which were embarrassing the family. Some of us have a tendency to do that, you know. Now, Mary must have had some idea about what was going on. I mean, it's not like she could have forgotten the events surrounding Jesus' birth. But to his brothers, he was just crazy Jesus. He needed a rest. He had lost his mind. They were hoping that they could convince Jesus to give up all this stuff and to just come home with them, where they could keep him locked in his bedroom and protect them from embarrassment. They just wanted to keep Jesus under their control for his own good. Any of you got a family member like that? You know, you just need to keep an eye on them. They do embarrassing little things. Some of them do embarrassing big things. They are constantly saying and doing stuff that is just slightly over the edge. Can I just tell you about my dear, sweet little Aunt Mary? Okay, you would have loved my Aunt Mary. I mean, you know Janet, the girl that sits, Mary, she's about that size. She was always dressed very properly. She always looked very good. But somewhere over the line, Aunt Mary had a problem, a little stroke that affected her ability to control her speech. You don't want anybody to talk to Aunt Mary. Because when Aunt Mary let go, and it could happen anytime, she used sailor language. Just slightly over the edge. Don't talk to Aunt Mary. Okay? You know what it's like to have a family member like that? You just need to keep your eye on them, right? All the time under your control. You know, the real problem is that you may be that family member. That everybody else is going, oh my God, they're here. Don't you hate it? I mean, it feels like they are always trying to keep you under their thumb. Don't ask me how I know. They just don't get it. They don't understand what you are all about. Now let me ask a question again, just to, you know, who is here from a dysfunctional family? Well, Jesus was too. They all thought that Jesus was the source of the dysfunction. They thought he was crazy. And that is so often how it is with dysfunctional families. We always think that the problem is somebody else, don't we? We never assume that the cause and the root of the dysfunction might be well, on the day in question, Jesus was told by somebody, we don't know who, that his mother and his brothers were waiting outside to speak to him. And then Jesus made one of those statements, folks. I mean, he confirmed to his family that he was the problem. I mean, somebody says your mother and your brothers are out there wanting to talk to you, and Jesus says to the crowd, my brother, my mother, my brothers? Who are my mother and my brothers? They are those who hear and do the will of God. And you know what his family was doing? They're going, oh my. To Jesus' family, it was classic crazy. It confirmed everything that they had feared. Jesus had gone over the edge. Their family was dysfunctional, and he was the root of the dysfunction. Didn't even recognize his mother. But to us, it is reassuring truth. We hear Jesus saying that we are his family if we will just meet two very simple conditions. Condition number one, we must hear the word of God. You know what that means? It means that we must discipline ourselves to read the Bible and to sit under the reading of the Bible and to consider what the Bible says. We must make ourselves willing to listen to the word of God if we want to be part of the family of Jesus. And the second condition, we must do the word of God. See, listening to the word of God, while good, is not enough. You must hear what it is saying, and then you must do what it says. Jesus said, "If you love me, you will obey me." Because, folks, it's for your own good. Jesus' family is composed of those who listen to his word and then do what he says. Isn't it nice? If we listen and if we do, we are Jesus' family. And while it may seem strange to us, that isn't it. It is where the story ends. As far as we know, Jesus did not stop what he was doing to go out to meet with his family. He kept right on doing what he was doing. Think about it. If he was hearing and doing the will of God, how could he stop doing what he was doing for the members of his family? For the members of his family are those who hear and do the will of God. In order to set the right example for all the rest of us, for all the other members of his family, Jesus could not stop doing the will of his Father, even to speak to his mother and his brothers. Ooh, now we get to it. I'll tell you another little story. This happened to me just this week. We have friends at the church in Surf City where Lois is attending today. And it happened last Tuesday. We went out to dinner, and in the restaurant were some friends. The guy's name is Paul. And we had to wait for a table. I'm standing next to Paul, and we're talking, and the Sunday I preached, Paul was not in church. Okay, and he said to me, Lois is preaching there next week. And Paul said, "Oh, I'm coming next week because I want to hear Lois speak." Okay, and I said, "Well, that's interesting. I'm glad you want to hear Lois speak, but you didn't come when I spoke." And he all of a sudden went, because he realized what he had said, and he'd been put on the spot, and I was being deliberate, and he should have been there anyway. And he said to me, quote unquote, you've heard this, "Oh, my grandkids were there that Sunday. We had a house full of people." Uh-oh. Crazy Paul. Because rather than doing what the word of God said and what he knew it said, "Do not forsake the assembling of yourself together," he set the wrong example for his grandchildren because though he listened, he did not do. And you know what his grandchildren learned? If there's a good excuse, you don't have to go to church. Now, don't shake your heads. Don't shake your heads. Because we all have a tendency to do exactly the same thing. When it comes to our family, we set the wrong example. We use them as an excuse not to listen to the word of God, or to listen to it, but not to do it. And here's the bottom line. That's what Jesus refused to do on the day about which the scripture speaks. He would not be enticed by his family to forsake the will of his father and set the wrong example for those whom he loved. So he listened to the word of God, and he did it too. And in so doing, he set the example for crazy people from dysfunctional families like me.